Would you like for us to post information about your congregation on the Find a Church page of our website? We'll add your church when it becomes part of the Issues Etc. 300. We're looking for 300 congregations to donate $1,000 to Issues Etc. Please consider adding the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. to your church's mission or advertising budget. Find out more about the Issues Etc. 300 at issuesetc.org. Click support and publicize your congregation to the world.
Well, it's found in the 16th chapter of Leviticus, which that kind of geographical location in itself might be significant, the Day of Atonement, one of the Old Testament feasts that is not often, shall we say, remembered much by Christians because it doesn't necessarily have one corresponding feast day in the New Testament liturgical calendar like Pentecost does, but in fact it's all over the New Testament, because its fulfillment certainly is found at the very heart of the New Testament faith, of the Christian faith, and of that revelation in the crucified and risen Jesus. What happened on the Day of Atonement? Why was it necessary? And how important it was for the Old Testament people of God? Joining us to talk about the Old Testament Day of Atonement, Pastor Thomas Messer, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Alma, Michigan. He's author of an article in the recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled Feasting with Our Lord, the Day of Atonement. Pastor Messer, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, Todd. Great to be with you.
You say that the actual date, and we're not talking here about our calendar date, but the date set for it specifically by God in its institution, the Day of Atonement, which would in this case be the 10th day of the 7th month, is probably important. Why?
Well, we see throughout the Bible that God has many numbers that are important to him, that are symbolic for various things, and certainly the number 10 and the number 7 are two of those numbers. In the Bible, we see throughout the Bible that 10 is seen as God's number, his symbolic number for completeness, and 7 as his number for perfection. And so the fact that the Day of Atonement takes place on the 10th day of the 7th month means that something complete and perfect is taking place. So just the very date itself, right off the bat, alerts you to the fact that this is something to pay attention to.
You also say that we should note its geographical location within the book of Leviticus, that being the 16th chapter. Why would that be important?
Well, you know, this is one of the biggies. This is one of the big feasts on the Old Testament liturgical calendar. It ranks right up there with The other real big one, Feast of Passover and Unleavened Bread, and we see the importance of this in its location in Leviticus. It's right smack dab in the middle of the book, and our Lord devotes a whole chapter to it. All the other feasts are within other chapters, but the Day of Atonement gets an entire chapter. Chapter 16 is completely devoted to this one feast day, and then learning from commentaries, especially Dr. John Kleinig's, we also note that the Day of Atonement, chapter 16 of Leviticus, falls right smack dab in the middle of the Pentateuch itself, the first five books of the Bible. So, the location of it in Holy Scripture and the date of it, it all alerts us to the fact that this is a pretty big deal.
I mean, lest we on those two last two points, lest we be accused of kind of stretching that point too far, we should note that the Old Testament readers, in particular of the first five books of the Bible, made special note about where things were located. They even mark the center of books and of chapters and of the entire Pentateuch with special marks. They want to know where these things are, so it's not an insignificant point.
Absolutely.
So what was to happen? What did the Lord institute for his Old Testament people on this Day of Atonement? How is it supposed to go for them?
Well, this is, as I alluded to earlier, the 10th day of the 7th month, something complete and perfect taking place. On this day, we get the entire ritual cleansing of everything, the sanctuary and all its appointments, the tent of meeting, the priests, The entire congregation, everything is ritually cleansed on this day, atoned for. That's why they call it the Day of Atonement. And another significant point within the feast itself is that everything that remains in the community is completely cleansed, washed clean, but also sin is driven away out of the community on this day. So it's a day for everything, everybody and everything to be completely cleansed and atoned for in the eyes of the Lord.
How does that happen? How does the cleansing take place?
God's very specific in how he wants to carry this this cleansing out, and so he commands the high priest to enter the Holy of Holies on this day, and we'll probably talk about that in a little bit, but this was the only day in the entire year that the high priest was permitted to enter the Holy of Holies, the innermost sanctuary of the tabernacle. But he brought with him the appropriate sacrifices commanded by God, a bull, two rams, and two goats, and took some coal from the altar, some incense, everything that God told him to do, and he went behind the veil that separated the holy place from the most holy place, or Holy of Holies, with that blood and the incense, and sprinkled this blood, the blood from these sacrifices, on the altar and all around the Holy of Holies to make atonement. This blood made atonement, cleansed not only the everything it touched, but also the entire community.
So it is a day of sacrifice, but a sacrifice that is different from all the daily sacrifices, the other offerings and burnt offerings and all those kinds of things that were stipulated by God for his people. What, in essence, makes this one, this kind of singular sacrifice on this one appointed day, different according to the Lord's institution in the Old Testament?
Well, all of the sacrifices made throughout the year, all of the sacrifices within the entire sacrificial system, they all find their fulfillment in this one day of atonement. That cleansing continued to go on in the community on a regular basis. People, when they had transgressed God's commandments, one of his laws, they had prescriptions set before them that they would come to the priest and they would get ritually cleansed. But this is a once for all kind of thing. It's to cover all of the sin of the entire community, not just the sins of individuals on a regular basis as they occur from time to time, but this made sure to make atonement in one fell swoop for the entire community. So, you know, all of those sacrifices that in the regular day-to-day life of the Israelite community culminate in this one hugely important feast day, the Day of Atonement.
So explain kind of the twofold action that goes on here according to the 16th chapter of Leviticus, where it's not just a goat sacrificed, but in fact another one, as you said just a moment ago, driven out of the midst of God's people. What's happening here?
Yeah, this is one of the really neat things about this feast day. It's the high priest was commanded to take two goats, two unblemished, clean goats, and one of those goats he was to sacrifice, and the other he was to put the sins of all the people on that goat, in a ritual manner, and then send that goat away into the wilderness outside of the community. And this is what that goat was called, the scapegoat. This is where we get that word scapegoat. And the way that these two goats were chosen, but then they cast lots to see which one of the goats would be sacrificed and which one of the goats would bear the sins of the community and be driven out of the community with all of those sins. Really, that is important. A lot of people miss this when they think about the Day of Atonement. There's really two main things going on here: that everything in the community is being cleansed, atoned for, but also sin is being cast out of the community by virtue of this goat that the high priest puts the sins of the community upon and drives away.
We're talking about the Day of Atonement in the Old Testament. Pastor Thomas Messer is our guest on this Tuesday afternoon, November the 30th. I invite your questions or comments. We have 10 more minutes with him on the other side of this break. You can give us a call, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. Send us an email with your questions or comments about the Day of Atonement in Leviticus chapter 16. Talk back at issuesetc.org. Send us a tweet at IssuesETC or visit our Facebook fan page, facebook.com/IssuesETC. Pastor Thomas Messer, pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Alma, Michigan. He's author of an article in the recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled Feasting with Our Lord, the Day of Atonement. You can find out more about Pastor Messer's blog called Abide in My Word under the Listen on Demand page at IssuesETC.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we'll talk to Dr. Alvin Schmidt of Illinois College about the Masonic Lodge, something long held in suspicion by Orthodox Christianity. Thursday on the program, we'll continue our series on apparent contradictions in the Bible with Dr. John Seleska. We'll talk about the genealogies of Christ and the lists of the apostles, both of which present apparent contradictions. Pastor John Seleska will be our guest. That's Thursday on Issues Etc. 1-877-623-MYIE. Talk back at IssuesETC.org or send us a tweet at IssuesETC. More on the Old Testament Day of Atonement with Pastor Thomas Messer right after this.
Good Shepherd Lutheran Church in Collinsville, Illinois is happy to support the Christ-centered, cross-focused ministry of Issues Etc. Join us for worship, Bible classes, youth ministry, and other opportunities to grow in Christ. We have a Christian day school for children in preschool to 8th grade. We are located at 1300 Beltline Road. Call us at 618-344-3151 or visit www.goodshepherdcollinsville.org.
The Word Made Flesh, a Christmas sermon preached by Pastor Todd Wilkin.
Had this God not come in human flesh, would we ever know the true God? The true God is only known in the fact that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us full of grace and truth.
And we'll send you a CD of this sermon for any size gift before the end of the year. Make a secure online donation today, issuesetc.org. Thanks for thinking of us at the end of 2010.
The cross is our theology. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Have you heard of the CLCC? In Hosea 4, we see, "My people are destroyed by lack of knowledge." The Confessional Lutherans for Christ's Commission can help educate Lutherans on being Lutheran. We treasure our Lutheran beliefs and think that all Lutherans would if they learn what we believe, teach, and confess. So visit our website, www.theclcc.org. Check out what we have to offer. Get on our mailing list, or better yet, join us. And maybe encourage your pastor to hold a seminar in your area. Just go to theclcc.org.
This is a message for members of Thrivent Financial for Lutherans. Thrivent Financial has a new charitable grant program called Thrivent Choice. Thrivent Choice allows you to designate charitable outreach funds to Lutheran Public Radio. For more information, look for the Thrivent logo under the Donate page of our website, issuesetc.org, or ask your Thrivent representative about Thrivent Choice. Help support the worldwide outreach of Issues Etc. with Thrivent Choice.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. We're talking about the Old Testament. Well, one of the main features of the Old Testament liturgical calendar, their Feast of the Atonement, the Day of Atonement. You know, the church still celebrates a liturgical calendar and still remembers all of these things from the Old Testament. And most importantly, as we'll talk about here in just a few minutes with Pastor Thomas Messer, their fulfillment in Jesus Christ. We don't leave the Old Testament behind. We don't treat it as a historical oddity. We mine it the way Jesus tells us it ought to be mined. You search the Scriptures. He's talking about the Old Testament. And therein you suppose you find eternal life. These are the Scriptures, the Old Testament, that testify of me. That is essentially why we offer during this November our Issues Etc. book of the month called The Old Testament Collection, Preaching Christ in the Old Testament During the Church Year by Dr. Ken Sherb. It's a CD of over 61 sermon texts through the Old Testament and through the church year. Find out more about the Old Testament collection at our website, issuesetc.org, or give Concordia Publishing House a call and ask about the Old Testament collection. Order one for yourself. 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Preaching Christ in the Old Testament collection. It's the Issues Etc. book of the month for November. Pastor Messer, let's talk about the book of Hebrews now, because this Day of Atonement, not by that name, but certainly described in great detail by the author to the book of to the Hebrews, is central to that New Testament book. Tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely. What the book of Hebrews tells us, you know, especially in chapter 6, chapter 9, all over the place, really, is that that Jesus is the fulfillment of the Day of Atonement in every way. He is the high priest, the one who enters the Holy of Holies with blood. You know, he's different than the high priest in the Old Testament in that he carries with him his own blood into not an earthly sanctuary, but the Holy of Holies, the heavenly sanctuary. And there he continues to operate on our behalf. He continues in his ongoing ministry of atonement for the life of the world from the heavenly sanctuary, as he continues to distribute the atoning sacrificial blood that he made for us on the cross. I mean, the entire book of Hebrews is all about, you know, Hebrews is the as many say, the New Testament Leviticus. It shows us the continuity between the Old Testament feast days and their fulfillment in Christ and their ongoing relevance for Christ's church today.
Okay, you said that he is the fulfillment of this Old Testament feast in every way. You mentioned before he's the high priest. He's also the sacrifice. He is, in fact, I think there's one reference in there. He's even the veil through which the high priest had to pass in order to enter the Holy of Holies. Take us deeper into that event that is so central there, wherein the high priest enters one day and one day only with the blood of the sacrifice to make atonement and pour out the blood upon the mercy seat of the Ark of the Covenant there in the temple or the tabernacle, and how Christ fulfills this.
Well, we see the fulfillment of this on Good Friday. Jesus is crucified on Golgotha on Good Friday, and you know the New Testament gives us all kinds of indications that that what was happening back then in the Old Testament on the Day of Atonement is happening now as Christ is being crucified on the cross and being fulfilled in Him. You know, we have the veil of in the temple in Jerusalem being supernaturally torn in two as Jesus breathes his last breath on the cross. His blood is making atonement for the entire community, in this case the whole world. You know, this is kind of like this is the fulfillment of the Day of Atonement that did the whole thing at once, did atone for all the sins of the community at once. Only Jesus is doing this with his blood on the cross for the entire world, the sin of all people of all time. He also, as he 40 days after his sacrifice on the cross, he enters, as we said before, he enters into the heavenly sanctuary to continue to be our high priest. And you know that the fact that only the high priest in the Old Testament had access to the Holy of Holies one day a year shows us that, you know, this was a pretty holy place. And I comment in the article the old legend that the other priests would tie a rope around the high priest's ankle just in case he did something wrong, displeasing to the Lord, and was struck dead. They weren't going in after him. They were going to pull him out. It was that holy of a place. And the significance of Jesus' death on the cross and his fulfillment of the Day of Atonement, his ritual cleansing of the world with his precious and holy blood, you know, the temple being torn in two at that moment, indicates for us that that now all of his disciples, all of us who are brought to faith in him, now have access into that very holy place, the Holy of Holies. We get to come in to that Holy of Holies and to receive the sacrifice of Christ for us there.
I think many Christians say, oh yes, that's quite true, but I would like to press it with one more question. That is, where does that happen for us here today? Is it simply something where we say, okay, I kind of have this spiritual mental access to God now? There's no reality to it, nothing tangible to it whatsoever. I just kind of have this as I know that I have access to God. Do we have real access to God? And if so, where today?
Every time we gather together in Jesus' name for divine service, we are entering into the Holy of Holies. And Jesus, as our great high priest, is there continuing to perform his ongoing ministry of atonement, where he's coming in a very real, tangible, physical way into our midst to cleanse us with his blood. And we, you know, we all Christians are priests, you know, the priesthood of all believers. We are permitted now to come into this place and to be ritually cleansed on a regular basis every time we gather together in Jesus' name for divine service. And, you know, it's when we're brought to faith in Christ, we're baptized into his kingdom, we get these beautiful white gowns, the white garment of Christ's holiness and righteousness that covers us. And this garment is perfect because it's Christ himself, but it gets dirty with our sins. And when we come into the divine service, where our great high priest meets us in a very real way, that is where we are ritually cleansed on a regular basis. And the only thing that can cleanse the white garments that get dirtied with our sins is his precious blood. And so, you know, where we really, really see this fulfilled and where we really have access to this is, of course, at the altar, where Jesus gives us his very real body and blood to cleanse us from all of our sins and to strengthen our faith. You want to see the fulfillment of the Day of Atonement? Well, there it is, in the Holy Eucharist and in the Holy Sacrament of his body and blood given to us Christians to eat and to drink for the forgiveness of all our sins, for the atonement of all of our sins.
Pastor Thomas Messer is pastor of Peace Lutheran Church in Alma, Michigan. He's author of an article in a recent edition of Higher Things magazine titled Feasting with Our Lord, the Day of Atonement. Pastor Messer, thanks for being our guest, and thanks to you and all our friends at Peace Lutheran in Alma, Michigan, for renewing their membership in our sponsoring congregation program, The Issues, Etc. 300.
Thanks, Todd. We're happy to continue to support the great work you're doing.
Many congregations are, and yours can as well. The Issues, Etc. 300 is our congregational sponsorship program. $1,000 or more in your congregation's annual budget, and your congregation is part of the Issues, Etc. 300. Find out all about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click support. Right there, you'll find a flyer that you can download and print and take to your congregation. It'll tell you everything you need to know about the Issues, Etc. 300. Tomorrow on Issues, Etc., we'll discuss the Masonic Lodge. Dr. Alvin Schmidt of Illinois College will be our guest. Jesus is, in fact, the fulfillment of all these feasts, but especially of this Day of Atonement. Make no mistake about it. That day was, as the writer to the Hebrews says, not a day that in and of itself could cleanse from sin. Not all the blood of bulls and goats on Hebrew altars slain, goes the hymn, but Christ on the cross makes full atonement for the sins of the whole world once for all. As our high priest, he enters in and gives us access to the holy place. He's the sacrifice. He is the holy place. He is our access to the Father. He's the high priest who sympathizes with us in every way. He is, in fact, the God to whom we are given this gracious access and in which we stand in his grace. Jesus on the cross for us is fulfilling this Old Testament feast in its completeness, and he is putting to rest once and for all the animosity against God that we have and the wrath of God against us. We are clean, we are clothed in his righteousness once and for all, and we stand in his presence only by virtue of our high priest, Jesus our Savior. I'm Todd Wilkin. Talk with you again tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues, Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues, Etc. Issues, Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Lutheran Public Radio, P.O. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 912, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues, Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.